The following is another dynamic message by Ryan Jacobs, prophet, teacher, and leader of the Empowered Church.
The book of John, chapter number 20 and verse number 24. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So Jesus appeared unto his disciples, and Thomas was not on sight. You know where he was. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thine hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that he might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believe, and that believing you might have life through his name. It is important that we understand this. I'm sharing this because of a dream that I had this morning. And I had a dream of Chadwin Thomas. And I had a dream of another person. And Chadwin Thomas sat over, went to sit down in front of that person. And this person wanted an audience with me. But somehow we could not find the audience, though the person requested for one. But as I was coming to meet the person, Chadwin Thomas came and sat over across the person. The person invited Chadwin to sit directly. And when I came, the person said, do you have 5 minutes? Can you just sit? And he wanted me to sit next to Chadwin Thomas. But somehow as he didn't get to say anything. And there were other details in there. Then there was a drink. If I'm the wrong drink, a different drink, it was being drunk. Different cup. Two different cups. And the one was the cup of the prophet, and the one was another cup. And I woke up. And the Lord said, this Thomas you see is doubting Thomas. And the Lord came. He said, how be no longer unbelieving? And the Lord says, why? Many of my people are unbelieving. No matter what they saw till date,
No matter what God's word says, let alone, they don't even believe what they see. They're not persuaded by what they see, let alone by the word of God written. And the Lord said, they want the prophetic word to come to pass. They want an audience of Jesus. They want to hear his voice. They want to God to give them audience. They want to hear from me. But in front of them is doubting Thomas. And the Lord said, being no longer unbelieving. You see, everything God does, now just think about Thomas. Thomas was the same Thomas that didn't want Jesus to be go back. He says, let us go and perish with him. Thomas was there. Thomas was one of the 12 that went out and did miracles. Cast out demons, healed the sick. Jesus gave him oil according to Mark chapter number 6. And they went everywhere, they preached repentance, and they healed many, anointed many with oil and healed the sick and cast out many demons. We looked at that before. But yet, Thomas was one of the ones that saw the demon subject to Thomas in the name of Jesus. Yet, Thomas remains a heart of doubt. Thomas was never fully persuaded. Thomas experienced more than many Christians would have experienced all their life till now. Thomas was one of those that Jesus gave the bread and the fish to, and Thomas broke it, and Jesus broke it and he distributed, and Thomas saw the multiplication of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Thomas was one of them that gathered the 12 baskets and the 7 baskets. Thomas saw Jesus raise the dead. Thomas saw Jesus disappear in the middle of people. Thomas saw Jesus walk straight through a crowd because his time to die was not yet. Thomas saw so many things. Yet Thomas was not persuaded. He even thought that John 11, that Jesus is going to. John talks about Thomas because it bothered John. John, the apostle in his gospel, tells us about Thomas. Here, Thomas again. Jesus appears. Thomas is given a commission to preach the gospel. To tell people that have not seen Jesus to believe in Jesus. Yet Thomas himself will not believe in Jesus unless he has touched Jesus. Thomas expects you to believe Thomas. But Thomas himself doesn't believe. You know what I'm saying? This is a person that preaches the gospel. That also wants people to believe in them. But they themselves don't believe. And so Thomas wanted with the person in my vision. Yeah? So Thomas is commissioned to preach the gospel. Yet he himself is not persuaded by the same gospel he is preaching. Thomas went everywhere throughout Israel, the cities and the villages, healing the sick, everyone therein. Yet Thomas himself was never persuaded. There is a reason why God's presence moves in our life. There is a reason why God does miracles in your life, or why the power, why the dunamis of God is shown in your lifetime, in your presence. To do what? To persuade you fully of another world, another reality, the truth. Now here, Jesus is dealing
With this, he's saying to Thomas, you believe because you have seen me.
Verse number 29, I'm reading.
But blessed are they that have not seen, yet they have believed. They say, you are not blessed, although you believe. So there's a believing without blessing. And then there is a believing with blessing. The believing without blessing is the believing of seeing. Whatever believing comes because of the five senses comes without blessing. There is no blessedness, fortunate, to be envied, a blessing of God attached to believing that comes because of the five senses. It is better to believe than do not to believe. But it is more blessed to believe without seeing, because the blessing is in believing without experiencing the evidence yet. But many people only believe when they experience the thing. But Jesus says, blessed are they that believe without having seen. So Thomas was there. He believed, but not fully believed. That's why he said in John 11, let us go and die with him. Let us also go back to where the Jews seek to kill Jesus. When Lazarus was sick, they said, let us go and die with him, because we're going to kill this, bro. We're going to kill this rabbi. He was right. They would kill him, right? They would crucify him. Thomas said, let's go die with him. Thomas was sensitive. Thomas knew the spirit of murder. He could discern in the spirit. If Thomas was there, Thomas would discern in the realm of the spirit. I can discern the spirit of death and of murder. There's a killing spirit here. He knew it. Therefore, he said, if we go back there, they're going to kill you, Jesus. So we're going to die with you there. You know that, right? Because Jesus went there. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And after that, the Jews made the determination, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those rulers of the Jewish people, they were going to kill Jesus. They even sought to kill Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. So Thomas was right. There was a killing spirit. But Thomas did not believe in Jesus. So when they grabbed Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the first guy who was running, I think, was Thomas. Because he didn't want this prophecy, unless I'll die with him also, to come to pass. When you hear it come to pass, I said, I'm a prophet. I prophesied this to you. I told you I'm called an apostle. You've been grabbing this dude. He didn't listen to me. Let us run, and he ran. Peter at least tried. He picked up a sword. He said, you know, gangster style, fisherman style. I'll gut you like a. You see. So Peter went back to his own, but Thomas, he was gone. Says when Jesus said, "You all will forsake me tonight," I bet he was looking straight at Thomas. He said, "Starting with you." Therefore, it says, so even if they behold Jesus from afar, Thomas was the furthest from Jesus. So Thomas was the guy. So he wasn't even there all the time. He was like in and out. Where he was, nobody knows. He was in and out. You see, his believing was not blessed. A
And therefore, when he saw him, it is at that time he said, my Lord, my God. Then he believed. He believed only in Jesus after he appeared to him and said, look here. Then he cried, my Lord, my God. Who was Jesus after that, before that to Thomas? And Jesus said, now you believe. He said, even if I see, unless I see all this stuff, I will not believe. For as many as believed, that they received him, you see. Thomas was always there, but never believing. He was called the disciple, he was chosen, but never believing. What does he say? If you believe in him, he said, now if you continue in my word, so are you my disciples. Thomas woke up after the resurrection. But Jesus says, but yet John says something in conclusion. Yeah. He said, verse number 30, John says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. So he did, then Jesus did other signs also there. To really persuade Thomas now, right? But number 31. And these are written. He said, no, these are written. The ones you see here is written. That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing ye might have life through his name. It is believing. It is that you might believe. It's written that you might believe. And that when you believe in what is written there, in believing you have life through his name. If you want this, the way of God, the life of God, you have to come to a place where you are fully persuaded of the things of God. Many people, they go through life, many Christians, not believing. Jesus, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he said to Jesus, I know that no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus said, verily, 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 I say unto you, except a man be born from above again, he cannot enter. And the man was puzzled because he was trying to reason. And Jesus said to him, you being a master, you don't understand this? How should a man be go get into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, I tell you, except a man be born of a spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So he cannot see. He cannot become aware, he cannot adore the kingdom of God. Unless he is born again from above. It is not that I wanted to show you that God is with me. But I wanted you to understand the kingdom. But what was the message Jesus preached? He said, change, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did he teach? The kingdom of God is. So what shall be like in the kingdom of heaven like? For what shall be. What did he tell them to pray? Our Father which art in thy kingdom come. What was his message? Kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven. He was. This message was not miracles. It was not causing up demons. Was not healing the sick. Was not giving people raising the dead. No, none of these things matter if you're out the kingdom of God. Therefore, when he commissioned them in Matthew 10, it wasn't about the sick and the lepers and all this. It was about the kingdom. It is what was about the kingdom of God. It was his message that he was affirming and confirming with the signs, the wonders, and miracles to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven. Manifested on the earth. And so Nicodemus saw the miracle, saw the man, but was not persuaded of the kingdom because nothing happened on the inside. So Jesus was saying, forget my miracles, it is the kingdom.
be born of my spirit, and you will enter into this kingdom, and the same miracles I do, you will do and greater. What is it that God wants you to see? What miracle must God still show you? What is it that God, you're looking for God to do with you before you are fully persuaded? You think it is in seeing that you believe. But you must understand it is in believing that you will see. Because it is only as you believe, you receive, that you receive the Spirit enters your life, that you are born of a Spirit, that you're born from above, and you see the kingdom of God. You want to see, but you don't want to believe, because you think it's in seeing that you believe. You want to see so that you believe. You are praying, God, open my spiritual eyes. Open my spiritual eyes. I want to see Jesus. I want to see the heaven. I want to know how that works. Why? Because you want to believe. So you're looking for a sign. Because your heart is hard. You are unbelieving. You are unbelieving believer. To be unbelieving just means to be unpersuaded. And so you're looking for evidence. You want your two eyes to see so that your brain can process and you can draw your own conclusion. You want to investigate. You want to put, you want to see her and put your hands, your fingers into the holes in his hand. You want to put it into his side to investigate for yourself so that you can believe. And God cannot do for you what you desire for him to do. He cannot take your walk to the next level. Because you are asking a must. Because you want to expand it on your lust. The lust of your senses. The lust of your eyes. You want to see and experience God to satisfy a lust that you have. And out of that lust, out of that craving, you will now want to believe. Miracles and signs are not given to the blessed ones. They are given to help the cursed become, so they can become blessed, so they can be taught from a point of believing. And now believe without seeing again. And now become blessed. It is important. Thomas wanted to handle. And that is why God's people don't go to the next level. That's what the kingdom be the main. They are born in the kingdom. They are in the kingdom, but they cannot see the kingdom. Why? Because we are not walking by faith, we are walking by sight. Why? But they are unpersuaded. But says you, but you may be written. No, yeah. It's not display. Now here we display the power of God. But he don't say you are blessed because you saw the power display. You are blessed because you believe what is written. You know, one of the blessed group of believers you'll ever find on the earth is the Word of Faith movement. They have some of the most stable Christians on the face of the earth. If I will go to battle, I will not go to battle with the prophetic people. I will turn out to be prophetic. I will go with the Word of Faith people.
If I am praying for an assistant, I am praying for the word of faith person. Why? Because that you might, is a written that you might believe. That believing you might be saved, find salvation through his name. It is when you believe what is written, in the believing, that the saving power of God comes, the delivering power of God. Now his name starts to work in the life. So when I get to the word of faith, people, I tell them, I take them to the book, and I show this is how I see into the spirit. Knowing they will not be killed. Because there are people that believe before they have seen, they are blessed already. But if you tell the if you tell a person they're not blessed, and you show them physically, they will become more cursed. They'll never know the blessedness and the joy of believing. He said of Thomas, "You believe, yeah, but your believing is not blessed." The Spirit of the Lord wants you to raise your game now. He wants you to come. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be blessed and experience the blessed life. But you're looking for something else, for something else, for something else. I know a man, a Christian man, that is great. He said to God, "God." Very intellectual man, a man, but God has used out there in the world, worked for many companies, United Nations, many. And he said to me, he told me his testimony. He said, "I was unbelieving. I don't believe that he's a God." And one day, these Christians keep on preaching this gospel. And I asked them, "Show me." And they could not show me what evidence of God is alive. I said, "See, unless you can show me your God, like they said, unless you come down from the cross, we will believe in you." The Pharisee said it, right? But it will be a curse, it will not be a blessing to believe in that condition. And the man said, "Oh," he went. But one day, this message of this Christian soul provoked him. He was in his room alone, living by himself, it was room, you know. We're living in a certain city, I think doing an apprentice or something that he was doing. And he was living, and he said, "Oh God, if there be a God, and you are alive, if you show yourself to me, I will never ask another sign. I will never doubt you again. I will serve you with all my breath of my life." He said, "Didn't expect it." But the Almighty God, a presence filled, an audible voice spoke. The room began to move. He got very scared. He said, terror. He was scared. Fear. And Jesus came to him and said, "Do you believe now?" He believing, but he was not blessed. He became a Christian. He said to me, "I believe God. Everything in this book. I don't need a no more sign. No miracle, no presence. I need to feel nothing. Sense nothing. I believe, persuaded. He is alive." So you show me in the book, and I believe it. There's nothing that God has withheld from that man. Why? Too many Christians. The next believing for the month of May is whether the prophecy came to pass, whether they feel a chill down their spine, whether they shake a little bit, whether God answers their last prayer, it determines whether they'll believe or not. It is not blessed believing. It lacks the belief. It's called flesh. It's called lust. It's called false believing. It's essentially it is mental assent. Blessed are they that believe that have seen nothing. In the Romans chapter number 4. And verse number 13. So for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abram or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness that is of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that which is of the law, but that to which also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. This is very important to understand. The law was based upon externals. It was based upon the senses. You offered the sacrifice of the animal. You could smell the animal, touch the animal, hear the animal, see the animal. You could smell the blood in the air as the animal's being sacrificed. And part of the offerings, they would even eat the offering, so you could even taste the offering. Everything of the law of Moses appealed to the five senses. Therefore, it was not blessed. Nothing was of the righteousness that is of faith. Moses believed. But for the rest, besides Caleb and Joshua, they didn't really believe. Everything was said. So their next faith was based upon whether there's manna the next day. Whether water is going to come from the rock. So for 40 years, Moses smote a rock for 40 years. For 40 years, the clothes grew with them. For 40 years, a pillar of cloud followed them every day. For 40 years, a fire was following for 40 years, every day. 365 days, including leap years. They were in constant place of signs and wonders. Not one day went by unless their eyes, skin, they smelled, they tasted a sign and a wonder. It's called manna. What is this? They were always at the wonder. For 40 years, they wondered, what is this that we are eating? Their curiosity and the mystery in them was being tickled. Every day, he showed himself so evidently that they feared. They said, you speak to him, Moses. And Moses, you speak to him. He speak to you, Moses. Why? Because he was overwhelming the senses. But none of that was blessed. Whether they were overthrown in the wilderness. In the wilderness was the plague. In the wilderness, in the midst of that, came the survivors. None of them was blessed. The only man that was blessed is Moses. Moses was the one being taught the ways of God. All the rest. You know, why was Moses blessed? Moses was told to take a rod and smite a rock. And water will come out. It's like, you know, the voice spirit, you go out there and smite the the side of a building and water will come out. He Moses had to believe every day for 40 years. Moses had to believe that the manna will show up because the manna will show up, well, pointed Moses. Maybe at one point, even when the manna was showing up, I said, no, we want something else. We want eating onions. So Moses had to believe God consistently to meet the carnality of God's people. Therefore, Moses, when they sent out the 12 into the faith, God gave an opportunity to be brought into the faith. Joshua and Caleb was brought into the faith because they believed. Even when they saw no pillar of fire there, no cloud there, no Moses there, only giants and provision and the promise of God, the signs of the promise being there, they said, we are able to take it, go up at once. They were believing. We are able. You see, that is how many has become in the prophetic movement, invisible. Everyone, they want to, but you look at the lives of the people, they cannot believe God for their basic life. They cannot believe God for their relationship, their God for their, but they are in the ministries that constantly show the presence, the power, the signs and wonders. But yet you look, they should be most blessed people, but they are not. Because it is a believing that don't come by. It's a believing without blessing. Because it is believing that came because of sins, because I have sin. And here God begins to talk. Paul writes here. Verse number 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. What God did to make Abraham, when Abraham had no child, his name was Abram, God came and he made him. He said, I have made you the father of many nations, past tense, not one child. Then he came and said, now, from now on, your name is Abraham. So when they call you Abraham, said, no, Abraham, my name is Abraham, meaning father of many nations. And immediately when they look at your children, they find that. So you have to believe me now. It is a potent thing. He says, I have made thee a father of many nations. If you go to Genesis, you will find that he have made him a father of many nations before he gave him any child. Before Ishmael, before Isaac, he was made Abraham. He was made aware. He said, it is written, I have made thee a father, whom is a father of now let me take this brackets. Let me ignore it, right? So it says here, verse number 17, which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, comma, before him whom he believed, even God. Abraham was the father of many nations before God. Before him whom he believed. Right? So he said, who is the father of us all? Before whom he believed God. So in other words, he in the presence of God, Abraham was the father of us all. So in other words, in the sight of God, before God, he said, you are the father of them all, the father of many nations. In other words, Abraham believed God that he was the father of all nations, of many nations before God, not before men. So God was first persuaded that Abraham was the father of many nations. Not before man, before God.
And God said, and how God, may God say, you have, I have made you the father of many nations. And Abraham didn't look and says, where is my children? Where are they? No, no. He says, God says it. God's viewpoint says, I am the father of many nations. And God says, thou shall be called Abraham. God is the one who quickens the dead and call of those things which be not as though they were. So if you read, it says, who is the father of us all? Which of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, before him whom we believe, even God, and call of those things which be not as though they were. He quickens the dead, and he calls those things on as though they were. Who was as good as dead? Abraham. Sarah's womb was dead. And so God said to him, I have made you the father of many nations. I have called you things that are not as though they were. So you are not the father of many nations. You are actually dead. There is nothing happening there with you and nothing happening with Sarah. You are finished. There's no more cycle there. The whole cycle, the menstruation cycle has stopped. It was no longer with her as it is with fruitful woman. It is gone. Time is over. It is, you are zero happening there. There is zero sperm left in Abraham. Is zero sperm count. You don't talk about low sperm count. You talk about zero sperm count. And they said, we were dead. And so then he says, now I have made thee the father of many. Abraham, no sign, no evidence. With Hezekiah, with all the others, God gave him physical signs. To Abraham, the father of faith, he could not give him a physical sign because he will not be the father of faith. But he will not be the father of faith at all. But because he never was given a sign except God Almighty. Except the signs of it exist. Look at the stars. Look at the sand. They were always there before Abraham came. The stars was in the heaven before Abraham came. But now God says, you are called Abraham. He says, Abraham? Yeah, Abraham. And with that, he became believing. And in the believing, he became blessed. He became blessed because he believed and he saw because and he did not even see. Remember, if the power of God touches you and you believe, you are not blessed. There's nothing blessed about it. Besides the feeling, but if it's not believing with blessing, no. It's giving you the opportunity to persuade you unbelieving that you can have a believing based upon a seeing so that you can go away and start believing without seeing. And when he tells about the situation of the man, verse number 18, says Abraham, talking about Abraham, he says, who against hope believed in hope? He says, who against hope, he believed in hope. Who against all expectation, all probability, nothing was going to happen. Against that, he saw the possibility. He saw the expectation. He had an earnest expectation of the good, of the promise that will manifest. Who against hope? Why did he do that? Why? There's a reason why. That he might become. So many want to become something. Jesus said, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said, for this purpose to Paul, the Saul of Tarsus, I have appeared unto you for this purpose. That I may make you into this thing. You want to become something, but you don't know how to become. Abraham became when he against hope and hope believed that he might become. Without you believing in the against all hope, hope believing, you will never become. You will not become because you fell the first. Even if you believe what God says, after you feel him, see him, he appears to you, he put his face right into your face, and you touch the Almighty God, even at that point in time, but that touch, he can never make you. You'll never become. Unless you believe in hope against all hope.
Because only when you believe in hope, against all hope, you will become. You want transformation. You have so many prophets. You know you're seeing a vision, a dream. God is speaking to you. You know why God is speaking to you? Because of He wants you to believe. Against all hope, to believe. He wants you to have no sign and still believe and still act. To take Him at His word. For it is written that we may believe, and in believing we might be saved through His name. That we may find the sozo of God. We may find the intervention of God. We may find Yeshua in the believing in the name of Yeshua. That we may find salvation in believing in salvation, in the name of salvation. We may find the intervention, the healing, the deliverance, the promotion, the well-being, the prosperity, the health, the hope, the future, the turnaround, the eternity in believing in His name. His name is Yeshua. That He is the Christ. Without you believing or seeing one sign, just believing it is written. It is written so that you may be blessed. It is preached so you may believe. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no other way for you to become what we demonstrate in the house. The power of God demonstrated. It is not to make you blessed. It is to persuade you, to give you opportunity to become blessed after you leave the building. Therefore, it is not the problem of the power. No. The power, I talk about the power. The power of God is flowing. I'm ready to transmit power. But it's not about the power. Why does the power come so easy? Because God knows it's not the power to make you blessed. It is the believing of it. Is the power can only make you believe, because you feel, you sense God is on you. You can see the movement. But the issue is that is not the blessedness. It's when you leave here. And you now believe the word of God, and you ain't feeling nothing happening to you. There is no shaking on your body. There's no moving like electricity through your being. But there you are, happily be persuaded, because it is written. So let us not think that we are blessed when the power flows. No. We have been given much. Therefore, Jesus went about and He berated. He upbraided, the scripture says, all the places where He did the greatest miracles, where He showed the most dunamis, the more power, the greater virtue flow. He invested them. He upbraided them. Because He says it will be worse for you. Because you think, because you believe, you now you're unbelieving. He said, none of us saw nothing. But heard the word of the prophet Jonah. Sodom and Gomorrah were not even getting an opportunity. Not shown one sign. But when they saw it was a sign of judgment. It was over. Yet, before your judgment came, you had many signs to believe, so that now afterwards you can believe the word now and become blessed. But you did not. He berated His own places, Capernaum and so forth. God Almighty wants to bring us to a place where we become something, what He has said. Because God said, He called, He said, so He might become, the scripture says here, the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. God already spoke to him before. And he must become according to what was spoken. But now God told him, I call you Abraham. No child. Let alone father of many nations. And at that time, now he had to believe. And in his believing now, when he believed, he says, yes. And he said, anybody say, and he believed, and therefore he spoke. He said, what's your name? He said, Abraham. We having the same spirit of belief, and therefore speak the spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And so he believed. But why did he believe? When he spoke now, he believes that what God said to him, he might become that thing. Because he believed, and therefore he spoke. So we believe also always spirit of faith. We believe and therefore speak. So he was talking about Abraham. So he believed and then he said, God said, you are, when he was no child, God said, Abraham, I changed your name from today. I've made you the father of many nations. And so, because I told you, so shall your seed be. So now your name now is Abraham, father of many nations. I have made you, and you are, and he knew you were like, you're the father of many nations in my sight. He said, okay, I believe you. And he began to say, my name is Abraham. But why did he need to say that? Why did he need to believe that? Because it could only become. If he, the blessedness of blessed believing is saying, being persuaded before there's any signs. No sign. Only death. Yet he believed God quickens the dead. He believed in order to become. What did God say to you? For him, it was spoken to him. So shall thy seed be. You get prophecies of many times. Thus say of the Lord, I will. But you don't believe according to it. So you and your mind, that's the problem in prophetic church. They always believe it is you, the prophet. If my prophet had come to pass, prophet, what is the problem? No. My job is just to say it was spoken. It is up to when. Once I have spoken it, I say, thus says the Lord. You must not believe. If you don't believe it, it won't come to pass. If you are not looking for signs, and don't kid yourself. If you get the prophecy with tangibility of the presence and power, that is only to make you to tell you now you have no excuse afterwards to believe this thing. So we deliver the word in the power of the Spirit, in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. So why? So that when your senses have now experienced, so now you must go away and believe according to what was spoken to you, without any more power, but because it was spoken. You understand this? Number 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He knew it was dead. She did not have any period anymore. So, you know, he knew he was dead. He knew Sarah is the dead, the womb is dead. Dead. Rest in peace. Was a very poor. Dead. She was walking like alive, but the womb was already buried in the grave. Dead. And yet he didn't consider these things. He looked and he knew I was dead too. Yeah. Yes, he could see no life in there. Only water. You see? They tested, they knew dead. They say, I consider not these things. Colon, number 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Unpersuadableness caused you to stagger at the prophecy, stagger at the vision, stagger at the destiny. Before the kairos comes in your life, you are already staggering. You are tripping up yourself. You are falling in front of it. It is ever so close, but always out of reach. Because you are unpersuaded. He didn't stagger at the promise of God to unbelief. Unpersuadableness will cause you to stumble and stagger at the promise of God. When the promise of God is presented, instead of you grabbing it, instead of you cutting lampano, instead of you paro lampano, you will be falling over your own feet. You will be ever coming close, but never in reach. That is what unpersuadableness says. Be unbelieving and not no more. He said to Thomas, No more unpersuaded Thomas. Abraham refused to be weak, to be weakling in faith. He refused to be weak in faith. Therefore, Hebrews says, he said, lift up, strengthen those hands that hang down, and those feeble knees, lest that thing which is that thing will be dislocated, will be taken out of the way. He says, oh, come on now. He was not hanging like this down. He must cut the lamp and he must take it by force, but it is unbelief and persuadableness makes the hands and the arms so weak. You need to move forward, but the knees become feeble because there's a weakness in faith. And when there's weak in faith, there's now unpersuadableness in this. Stagger, every time stagger. Tripping over yourself, never getting that promise of God, never becoming that thing. You think you got the importation today, but nothing to show for the tomorrow. Every time, why? Unbelief. Unpersuaded. There was a man of God that said, never put your faith in your recovery after prayer. What was he saying? Never put your faith in senses. Are you healed? Yes. How? I feel better. Now tomorrow you may wake up and feel worse. So are you healed now? What happened yesterday? What happened? Yesterday I was healed. How did you know? I felt better. What tells you that you're not healed today, that you are sick? I feel sick. You thought you had faith, but not faith in God. Not faith in the Word. Your faith, your believing was not blessed. Because faith is the opposite of senses. It is the evidence of things not seen. Abraham was the one that contended for the greatest prophecy. Nobody greater than Abraham was than Jesus, who had to believe that God is able to raise him from the dead. But he was able to come out of the nether regions where nobody has come out before. He brought out all the others. But who's going to bring him out? When the one who raises the dead is dead, who's going to bring him out? Never before did God bring. No, it was always someone. Like Elijah. Or Elisha. Or Jesus. Or the disciples. Under Jesus. But Abraham had to believe God. You looking at your prophecy, you go, you're not persuaded. Every time God does something for you, God touches you, you sense his presence. God is not looking. Just when was it? Just Sunday. The Spirit of the Lord moved in this place just as we came in, like a mighty rushing wind. What was he trying to tell you? The moving of the God, that's the Sunday morning. Sunday evening again. The prophetic, and yet, what was he giving? He was trying to help your unbelief, your unpersuadableness, to give you something to persuade you that what he's spoken over your life shall come to pass without you needing to sense, feel, shake, quake, anything, get a prophecy, understand, anymore. Says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Aha. giving glory to God. Say, glory be to God. Honor and praise that you have made me the father of many nations. Ha! Number 21. And being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Being fully persuaded. Tonight, the Spirit of the Lord is imploring you, be unbelieving no more. Jesus in John 20:27 said to Thomas, then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hand. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. : Be not faithless, but believing. Abram was the father of faith. Thomas was not only weak in faith. Thomas was entirely faithless. Abram was not weak in faith. Then it says Abram was strong in faith. Most of the disciples had little faith. Say, ye of little faith. Thomas was faithless. He was the unbelieving believer, disciple. He didn't say to Thomas, hey, be no longer of little faith, Thomas. Come to big faith now. No, he said, if you have your little faith, as small as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. You can move this mountain. You can only do what was done to the fig tree. He said, that what you see me do, I did with little faith. Cursing the fig tree. But little faith can do more than it can move a mountain. Faith is a mustard seed, small as a mustard seed. He'll ambassador them for the little faith. Therefore, when they couldn't cast out the... And I bet Thomas was busy down there. You know, Peter, James, and John was up with Jesus in the mountain, right? When they came down, they found the disciples there. I bet who was leading the deliverance. The deliverance! We couldn't cast him out. What's up, Jesus? Your power is faulty here. That oil has lost its unction, yeah? I poured a whole bottle of oil, the same oil. It defades. Yeah, the scripture is clear that the anointing of the Bible in you is it does not fade, but the Bible is true. It is not a fake, it is true perfume. Huh? It is the real deal. You understand anointing, right? The anointing was the oil. The Jews understood it. It was mixed according to an instruction given, right? And so it was mixed with a certain mixture. To be a fake of the fake anointing and the real anointing, yeah. And so understand. So when it says anointing is a true anointing, First John chapter 2 verse number 27, there it talks about it doesn't fade. But Thomas came to Jesus and said, "Hey Jesus, your oil is not working. The prayer mantle is not working. The distribution of grace that I got, it's not working for me. Because the next day, instead of grace, you know, they were almost firing me at the work. You know, things is wind. I went to the order, but they rejected me. That prophet, that piece of paper, that thing with you, I saw you pour the oil, yeah, but I think there's a problem with this oil. This oil fades. How long is it? 24 hours? What's a guarantee? The return period on this anointing? And Jesus says, when he came, and Jesus said, you faithless and perverse generation, how long will I bear with you? Bring the boy to me. And he commanded, and the child threw him, and they even said, he's dead. And they picked up a child, and the child was healed, totally in his right mind. And they came to Jesus later, and said, why could we not cast on Jesus? Because of your unbelief, your unpersuadableness. Thomas was the one in charge. Thomas showed up in cases like that. You see Thomas. The unbelief shows, unpersuadableness, Thomas was the leader there. Like a tip of a spear. But Abram never staggered at the promise of God through unpersuadableness. So Jesus tells Thomas, be no longer faithless. You are out of faith. You believe nothing. You don't speak. You speak out of senses. But if you had the spirit of faith, a faith would come by hearing. You heard nothing, you saw nothing. You were with me all these years. That's why Jesus said to them later there, he would say to them before, actually, in John, before his crucifixion. He said to them, you don't believe me? Believe me for the work's sake. These works which the Father has given me, which I do in my Father's name. At least believe me. You don't believe my word. You don't do blessed believing. At least do this believing based upon the signs. They wouldn't even believe Jesus like that. They were of the Thomas kind. Thomas was from the same school. He drank of the same cup of unbelief. Unpersuadableness. He didn't nurture his faith. He could not see because faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10:17, right? And hearing by the word of God. So why didn't Thomas have any faith? He never heard. But if you went to Thomas, he'll probably quote you everything Jesus said. Thomas was he was paying attention. Thomas could discern. He knew why they were they knew they were trying to kill Jesus. He could even discern there was a killing spirit nearby, where Lazarus lives in Bethany. He stinketh. He knew. Thomas could say all that, but yet he could never heard. Because if he heard the rhema of God, he would have had faith. Thomas had zero faith. He was faithless, devoid of faith, because he was devoid of hearing. Thomas was a disciple of Jesus. He said, I speak these things in parables of they hearing they cannot hear, seeing they cannot see. Hearts of doubt so that it can't enter in. But to you I speak plainly. He was there when Jesus spoke plainly, yet he could not hear. He remained faithless. His heart was unpersuaded. He was closed. He could not pursue. Nothing of God came to him. Like Nicodemus, he could see the miracles. Hear what's happening, but yet he could not enter in himself to see the kingdom. Could not hear the voice of God. Could not get faith in his heart. You can be in ministry in church all your life and never come to get faith whatsoever. Yet the Bible says that God has given to us each the measure of faith. Yet that measure of faith is there and no more faith came in afterwards. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Thomas was doomed to be destroyed because he was faithless. What are you dooming yourself to? By your faithlessness. Why is it that you are not fully persuaded? I told you the other day, sometimes we meet men of God that was with us in the street ministry and they will always go with them. We've seen one another in between there. They will always take us back to the times we had experience of God. And I said, but yet you, that the same experiences that I'm talking about prophets, evangelists, apostles, people that move in the power of God, are not telling, they're not getting together and referring to the miracle they had last night, but to when we were together in those years, in those room, there in that room, how God showed up. And I said, yet God shows up in the same manner to you here. So the same experience happens to you. Yet now you think, why does it happen like that? If servants of God is relating back to an experience that we had back then that changed their lives. And whoever was touched and was entered into and God did something, was persuaded by that experience, are being used by God today. How much more shouldn't you be? So why is God giving you the experience? But how long will your heart be closed? How long will you refuse to believe? How long do you need a sign in order to believe? How long? Faith is the victory overcome of the world. Our faith in Jesus overcomes this present world. Will you stay faithless? Or will you be believing? Will you be fully persuaded? Yes. Now, the book of Hebrews, and we're almost done. We are just about over the hour. But in Hebrews chapter number four, verse number one. I'm going to read from chapter number three, rather. Verse number seven. Hebrews 3 from verse number 7. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, whether I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Now, why did they not know his ways? Because he did not make known his ways to them. Psalm 103 says that he made known to Moses his ways, but to the children of Israel his acts. He gave them signs and wonders and miracles. We just spoke and mentioned earlier. He gave them the power. More power than I think Christianity, many Christians have seen. The power to shook Egypt. The power to split the sea and to bring it back together. Kind of power. We talk about power. He showed them his acts. He made known unto them his acts, but to Moses his ways. As if they had known my ways. The gospel was straight. So he says, so let me read it again. He says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. He blames them for it. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. It made God very hungry. But he acted on that anger and spoke. He said, take heed, brethren, talking to the Christians, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. It's an evil heart of unpersuadableness. It's called the evil heart. And an evil heart produces the evil eye. He said, what does defile a man? Jesus said, not what comes into, but what comes out of that. He said, out of the heart come of evil thoughts. Adulteries, fornications, murders, envies. He said, stealing, blasphemies. Out of the heart, Jesus said. So he says, now, so the evil heart give birth to the evil eye. Yeah? What is the evil eye? It is that thing that everything you see in darkness. Light don't enter. The whole body is full of darkness. Because the eye is evil. Why? Because the heart is evil. And then what happens? Depart from the life of God, the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is yet called today, lest any of you come short of the evil heart of unbelief. It says verse. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in a provocation. But how do you harden the heart? Unbelief. Unbelief is not like, unbelief is unpersuadableness. When you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. And the rhema of God comes by the preaching of the word. So you hear it with the ovis. Huh? And that is how hearing comes through the ears into the heart. When it gets to the door of the heart must open. Because it is persuaded, it is the voice of the master there. But when it enters here, it gets a blocker. And that blocker is called, I am not persuaded. Unbelief is the God. Unbelief is the doorman. Unbelief is they standing there. And unbelief, unpersuadableness, says, I will not open. Says, today, if you hear the voice, harden at your heart. Says, do not be persuaded. I'm persuaded because they were an evil heart. But Jesus said, the sower soweth. He said, now the seed is the word of God, the sower is the field is the heart. So he says, so the thing is that now when the heart becomes knocking at the heart, how? When the word comes, you must be persuaded at what you hear. But if you not be ye persuaded, you've hardened your heart. In the today. So faith cannot come by hearing by the rhema of God, but they cannot enter in because when it gets to the ears, but time that it gets to the heart, the heart says, no, she said, knock, knock. The heart says, it's Jesus, it's God, it's good for you. I will not unless I see it first. Really? Really? I know of a suffering man one day, a suffering Christian. I once said to him, this thus says the Lord. He said to me, if anyone, I gave the man business. Not only was he prophesied, was not part of our church, another church, where God's power was moving. So the man got a word, and I gave the man business. While doing business, paid business, I came to where he was doing the work for me. Now I was the client. And I said to him, God Almighty is going to use him and God will raise him up. And the reason why I gave him business now is to, as a sign, I was not the pastor. There are many other people. I lived in one side of the city, the man in another side of the city. It was, and now that I gave him the business, I said to him, now the reason I gave you the is because God shows you as a sign that I'm going to raise you up. God's going to raise you up. And this has, you got this business. You're going to become a big man in this area. As a prophecy of God, I've said. He said to me, have you known anyone that have become that which you have said? That is a question. While he didn't canvass for the business, the Lord spoke to me and says, now you prophesy to a man, go approach that man in that church. I contacted the man. You know, he didn't pray for it. He didn't. Maybe he's praying for it. I don't know. But I was just but a guest speaker, prophesying as a prophet, prophesying, not knowing that, you know. And it happened to be the man is in business. And he really told me, I'll never forget it. I thought, come again. He said to me, do you know anyone? I thought I misunderstood what he was saying. It was me now wanting to persuade him of the prophecy by telling him so and so, but he can go and meet them to investigate whether it was God that made him like that. You see, problem now. So I gave him, to humor him, I gave him. But I was grieved in my spirit. And I thought, how, this is the end of his flow. He suffered and suffered and suffered until he had to go get a job. Why? Today we hear the voice. Not even the physical goodness of God could lead a man to repentance. But yet he was in a place where God was healing the sick, doing miracles, flowing the power of God every day. But he thought that made him believe. No, no, no. He was just a sensor, a luster. He was not a carnal man. Because all the signs, the wonders, the miracles were all appealing to the five senses. But you never become by the five senses. You become to when you are persuaded by the word of God. It is the only way to become. When you believe in God's ability without seeing it. Abram didn't believe in the raising of the dead because he saw it. He didn't believe he was able to raise the dead because he said, God, no, I kill this thing to raise it up. Therefore, when God said, offer Isaac, he went. Because he knew that womb from when that boy came and the loins when that boy came was dead. So let me show that I'm still persuaded. He was testing his heart. He went there. He says, stop, Abraham. I just wanted to see whether you are, if it's still alive. Whether the grace that brought Isaac is still alive in you. Are you still persuaded? Tonight the Lord doesn't want us to be unbelieving anymore. To be faithless anymore. But be believing. Chapter number 4, verse number 1. We're almost done. It says this. Let me read verse number 16. It says, chapter 3, verse number 16. For some when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. For some when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Not all of them, right? Some. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Wasn't it with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom saw he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. What prophecy did you have? What promise do you have? What calling do you have? What kairos do you have? What milestone in 2022 that you have? You see, they could not, you must see this. They could not enter into their kairos. They could not capture their eon. They could not utilize the corners God gave them. They could not enter into their prophecy, into their promise, into the vision God gave them because of their unpersuadableness. It was them that died on the way there. It is them that could not enter in because of their unpersuadableness. Verse number 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Enter into what? Enter into God's rest. It's chapter number 4, verse number 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Never be good news can be announced to you. It is the month of great grace. It is the year of mobility. Up and rising, moving and shaking, spreading and taking. It could be preached to you, great faith, great power, great reward. It is good news. It's about life. We mean business. It is the month of great grace. It is good news. It could be announced to you. But do not think just because it is announced to you that it is yours for the taking. For they too heard the good news. We too. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So otherwise, do not think that I am here every time. Prophet is here, we're preaching the word, teaching the word, doing the word, hearing the word, bringing the word, and the word is coming and you, wow, the word of faith. You think it's benefiting you? No. Just because you're hearing it, just because you're in the environment, just because you're seeing the power, feeling the power, all the things, seeing things happen, doesn't say it is benefiting you. Doesn't say it's profiting you. Doesn't say it's pushing you forward. It's causing you to burst mightily on the scene. It is bursting the limitation of your life. It is penetrating and opening a greater future for you. It doesn't say so. Because it did not benefit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith. So Thomas was all the time there with Jesus. Nothing benefited him. Being used to do miracles, cast out demons, multiply, raise the dead, all the stuff you can do. But they never had faith. Having power and faith is two different things. Even my brother, you can see people that have it and they'll deny Jesus. You will know that they have healed the sick, when you've seen them do it. They have they even raised the dead, that they'll deny Jesus, they'll walk away from God. Why? Because they never had faith, they had power. It's not power that benefits you. It is faith. The power gives you opportunity to get into faith. So we demonstrate power in the ministry, in power church, power emotion, energized power. Why? So that we can have an opportunity at the year of the experience in the ministry, but have opportunity and be persuaded that God is alive because the senses have experienced God. Now we have opportunity now to believe God when we feel nothing. Just because of what he said. Now they have an opportunity to change and to be profit. Therefore, it says, what you heard, Paul, the writing to Timothy, he says, the prophecies and the word, the things given out, gone out over you, give yourself fully to them. But that prophecy may appear to all. It is, you need faith. Because faith will bring the moving forward. So when the word comes in a ministry like this, it is looking for faith inside you and be mixed with it. It's a mixture. It must be mixed inside of you to make you to move forward, to thrust you forward, to make that thing. I have no pressure whatsoever. I must only preach you the word of God. I must mix the logos of God. I must come with the rhema of the spirit. I must come with the shalak word. I must come with the good news of the kingdom to announce a higher realm of God. I must come with a word from Mount Zion. That's my job. Your job is to not harden the heart by being unpersuaded, but by opening the heart and say, yes, it can be done. Yes, something of that is me. Be it unto me according to thy word. It shall be unto me according. For the angel Gabriel said to Mary, none of God's words is void of power, but carries within it the power of self-fulfillment. For all things are possible unto God.
We didn't have the luxury to be like Zacharias, the father of the prophet John, to get unbelief and become dumb for a season. You need that mouth of yours to say, come out, you devil. Jesus is alive. To give glory to God, you need that mouth of yours. As a witness, you need the word of your testimony. So you don't have time for the angel to shut your mouth as a sign. It's so beautiful, she gives me a people, they shut the mouth of Zacharias, but for 9 months he could not confess, he could not believe and therefore speak, he could not utter no prophecy, he could not fulfill nothing, he could not express his faith. But right there after John was born, it says that they saw his name shall be Zacharias, and he rose, his name shall be John. And at that time, when God loosed his mouth so that faith can come out of the mouth of Zechariah, and he began to prophesy, his name shall be called John. And the father of John, the Zechariah, the unbelieving man, began to prophesy the destiny of his boy. In the face of people that could not believe, this boy, Elijah? Why? Provocation. You see, you have to come to today that you have to be no longer faithless. But believing, no longer I'm persuading you in the middle of the move of God, but you're in the middle of the power of God, but you're sitting there with unbelief like doubting Thomas. So verse number 3 says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He says this, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on the wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. In this place again, if they shall enter my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they that to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is written, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then we not after have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also have ceased from his own works, as God did from his. You want to do the works of God? You want to do God's will now? He says you must cease from. When, how, into his rest. Verse number 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul, son of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do so. He says, let us strive therefore, verse number 11, to enter into the rest. To enter, what is the rest? To enter into, to believe. We strive to be persuaded. We strive to be, we labor. Everything we do is to get to the point where we are fully persuaded. And when we become fully persuaded, we rest. When we now rest, we will no longer have the ability to fall short of the prophecy, fall short of the destiny. Must our moments, must our years be delayed no more, because we are no longer striving. We are arrested. We are being carried now. Now it says, why? For the word of God is quick and powerful. It is powerful. It is alive. It is full of power. But watch, the word didn't benefit them who heard it, because it was a mix of faith in the heart. So now the word is powerful, but can only be powerful in your life when it's mixed with faith. So it's able to do all that. But you have to mix it with faith. The word of God is powerful. That's why, like the Lord said to me, you know, the word of God is settled in heaven, but is it settled in your heart, Ryan? It's forever settled in heaven, but is it settled in yours?
That is when the rest, when the word rest in you is settled with you now, like ever settled in heaven, now the word will be seen in your life. Forever settled in heaven and in me. It's a rest. Right? And this is verse number 14 now. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hey, if you're going to hold fast your confession, at least do it for Jesus, because he's there. He's there. He's there. Come on. Don't relinquish your faith. Verse number 15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, you have infirmity. There's something you want to waver. You want to stagger, but you said, be really persuaded. He's able to help you. Hold fast. Hebrews 3, verse number 1, because but he holy protects of the heavenly God, consider him, Jesus, you all, they said, the apostle, high priest of your confession. Hebrews 3, verse number 1. Yeah? No, so he's continuing. Just one letter, right? So he says, now let us see, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, yet like us as we are, yet without sin. Now, Romans chapter 14 tells us whatever is not of faith is. Yes. So he was also tempted to move outside of faith, to believe by what he sees. But he wasn't. He stood and he only believed. He only believed what his father said. Yeah. Verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time and help in time of need. Grace to help in time of at the throne of grace, in the month of great grace. So what is it? There is a place in your heart, maybe. Weak in faith. Infirm. Doubting. Like doubting Thomas. Wavering. Tottering. Staggering. Stumbling. Falling short. Every month. There in the month before verse, then in January, and then in February, and when it came to March, you were tottering. And then it came to the month of introduction, but nothing was introduced to you. But God says there is a throne of grace in the month of great grace to help that evil heart of unbelief of yours, that unpersuadableness of yours, that weak faith of yours, that you will not struggle this month, that in the month of great grace, you are going to obtain the grace there in the presence at the throne of grace. You're going to obtain the mercy to help you so that your heart will not be hardened, that you will not forego and forfeit your promise, your destiny, and your year. But you will find at the throne of grace, you will find grace to help you in your time of need, in your time of infirmity, because there's a great high priest that was at all points tempted as you are to doubt, as you are to be in fear, as you are to be unpersuaded. But he overcame because he held his confession and committed his life and his spirit unto God, who was able to save him from death. He was saved in Hebrews chapter number 5. And though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things he saw. And when he had overcame, he became the author of salvation. He became the high priest as of the honor of Melchizedek. All he wants you tonight is to say, oh God, for Jesus' sake, I plead the name of Jesus. For you, I will not let you go, Jesus. I believe you. If you did it for me, I know I am persuaded of Jesus. Blessed am I. I believe that it was better. It is so that I may believe and be saved through faith in his name. Let's stand. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message, and we hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to change the way you see and know Jesus, leaving your life empowered, envisioned, and enriched. For more messages by Prophet Ryan Jacobs or for more information about the Empowered Church, go to www.empoweredchurch.com or view our YouTube channel, Empowered Church TV. Feel free to come join our life-changing services.